there. How you doing, love?
I'm great.
This is Sean.
And this is Carrie. And welcome to...
Dogs Are Smarter Than People.
The podcast where we give writing tips and life tips, and we have a random thought in the beginning.
Yes.
Let's get random, babe.
Let's get random? All right, baby, let's get random.
Hey, it's random thought in the office time. Babe, do you remember before COVID where we would have random thoughts in the car and restaurant?
Yeah, I miss those days.
I know.
I miss them a lot. We don't even have random thoughts in bed anymore.
No, it's like we've just gotten so depressed we gave up.
We just fall asleep so fast.
Yeah, we're like, oh, what's the point? The dream world will be better than the real world.
That's
maybe.
Right. Let's find peace for a few hours.
Sean and I have been watching a lot of random Bigfoot things lately.
Yes.
Yeah, and I've been reading a Bigfoot book about people who sent their Bigfoot experiences to this random hunter guy.
Yep.
Who now has a book.
And a YouTube channel, right?
And a YouTube channel, but he's not making money off of it, but he has a book.
Well, maybe he's making money off of that.
I know, but it's sort of funny.
What?
Because part of his thing is always like, I'm just here for you all to funnel the information through. I'm not making money yet. Like, you know, I'm just here. And everybody's like, here's my story. And then he collates it all and it's a book.
But you've been reading it steady.
Yeah, I have. It reminds me of those little books I used to read when I was a kid. Like, you know, like they'd have like a ghost story and a ghost story and a ghost story and a ghost story. And they'd be pretty short. And
right.
I'd be like, and, you know, it's all thematically around each other. It's all allegedly real,
right.
You know. And so it's kind of like that. And there's just story after story after story after story about Bigfoot encounters.
Yeah, have you noticed any commonalities in the stories?
I've noticed nobody ever gives Bigfoot a wedgie. You know why?
I don't think Bigfoot wears underwear.
That's why! I know, nobody ever talks about his penis.
And if... Oh, wow. That's really a valid point.
Uh-huh.
Nobody's ever said... I saw his enormous member or testicles dangling.
Or, like, it was strangely small. Like, they never say anything about any genitalia.
That is an interesting fact.
And
I mean, I
want to know why.
Could have been a female and you wouldn't see much, but
sometimes they say it's a female Bigfoot, but they're never like, I knew this because she had bosoms or she was, like, lactating or,
right.
Like, I saw her vajayjay.
Right.
Like, it's always just the female Bigfoot. I'm like, how? This is America. I can't imagine nobody's talking about the giant Bigfoot member.
I never thought about that before.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And it makes me doubt all the stories. Unless it's retractable.
Well, if Bigfoot's... No primate has a retractable genitalia, do they?
Well, if Bigfoot exists, then...
Maybe Bigfoot really are aliens, and that's just one of the parts they failed to think of.
one of the things that's consistent is that there's no mention of genitalia, nobody's getting a wedgie, and also they all seem to talk about that feeling ahead of time, like that they're being watched.
Yeah.
And that predator feeling, you know, like
you're being watched by something that's potentially stalking you.
Like something dangerous. You get that heebie-jeebie feeling. And Sean, who used to be a cop, knows all about that feeling because I guess he probably used to watch people and give it to them.
Probably.
But I get that feeling all the time if I'm in the woods, like right before a bear, like I see a bear or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wait, what's going on? What's going on? And then, like, you see the bear.
Right.
And it's so funny that you can feel it. Out of nowhere when it happens. And that's consistent in the Bigfoot story.
It's a really strange phenomenon. That getting that feeling. And now that you bring it up and I think about it, do you ever get that feeling if it's not something that has the potential to harm you?
No, like if it's a deer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you don't get that from a deer or a squirrel.
No, you might be like, oh, I feel like something's watching me, but you're not like...
Right.
Like, it's different. It's a different feeling.
Yeah.
And sometimes you get, if you're a girl or a woman,
yeah.
Or maybe a gay man too, I'm not sure. And, because I'm not one. But, like, and you're at a party or something or at a bar, and there's somebody skeevy, like,
oh, that's a predator.
Yeah, you feel that, like, you can, right. like, you'll be like, wait, what is that? And you look, and there's somebody, like, staring at you, and it's really creepy when that mm-hmm. happens, too. So, I guess humans can do it to other humans.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they can.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, you feel the energy, man.
It is. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it seems like it's an energy.
And if...
And it's a really interesting phenomena to me.
Yeah.
Like, what part of your brain or your body does that, creates that? Feel. Yeah. And where does it come, like, how is it transmitted, so to speak? Like prehistoric.
Yeah, it's like, feels instinctual.
Right.
And then if you think, like, about psychic things, mm-hmm. like, if you can feel the energy of someone or a predator is looking at you, right?
Yes.
What other energies can you feel?
I don't know.
And if so, if you can feel any energy at all, like, what are the differentiations, or what keeps us from feeling all energies? Or maybe we do and we just don't realize it. And, oh, my brain explodes.
I think it's what you're open to, really, or just what you allow, you know, for a lot of it. But I think that feeling of being watched by a dangerous watcher, let's say,
a dangerous watcher, is
like really primitive and within us all, and we just can't even help it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's really cool and amazing. And now I'm gonna be waiting for it to happen again, just so I can remember what it feels like.
Yeah.
Writing tip of the pod.
Podcast is about three big steps to learn how to write good stuff. And did you also know that there are three main variations on the wedgie?
What?
Yes.
No.
I know. We're such mature.
How do you even know that?
Because I looked it up on the interwebs. So a wedgie, if you don't know, what's a wedgie, Sean?
That's where you grab the back of somebody's underwear and yank up as hard as you can, or unless you have compassion. Just enough so they know they're getting a wedgie.
It's so mean. And it's like low comedy, and it's bullying and all that horrible stuff. But there are three major parts, man. Like, types. And they're dangerous. They can be dangerous. Don't give people wedgies, because you could hurt their things that Bigfoot may not have.
Do you notice that they're particularly dangerous to men and not women?
Yes. And there's a reason for that, but we're not an expert. Explicit podcast, sadly.
No, but we can say that.
Testicular. I would say your hot dogs and your meatballs can get really, really hurt. But especially your meatballs.
Yeah.
But there's three different kinds of wedgies. There's the Melvin.
Yeah.
And that's like, it's in the front. You pull it up in the front.
Oh.
And if you're a girl, they sometimes call it a Minerva. I don't know if you don't identify as a gender, if you have another name. The atomic wedgie is when you, what is it?
Like, that's from the rear. And you get it up over their head? I've never actually, those are some stretchy underwear.
It could not be boxers.
Or a short person.
Like, that can't be cotton boxers. That's not possible.
I don't know.
And then the hanging wedgie is when the victim's hung by their underwear. Above the ground, like, they're lifted up so much.
Yeah, that's their feet. That's terrible. The hanging wedgie is most usually the result of attempt of an atomic wedgie.
That doesn't go right. I don't know.
I never that's the only one I've ever heard of, was the atomic wedgie. The hanging wedgie is kind of self-explanatory.
Yeah, it sounds nasty though. I've never given anyone a wedgie.
But I'm the Minerva kind of is interesting. I never heard of that.
Have you ever given a wedgie?
I want to say yes, but I don't remember any. I always thought, even when I was a juvenile, which I still am, but when I was a young kid, I always thought wedgies were really juvenile. All
right.
Probably because I used to wear tighty whities back then, and that's the worst kind of underwear to get a wedgie
that.
From.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Or maybe a thong.
Well, that would be, yeah. All
right.
But I don't wear thongs. Except on Valentine's Day.
No, he doesn't. But when he does, they have little furry, like, little white fur and red velvet polka dots. And...
You just said no.
I know. I was lying. Stop.
What are you lying about?
So there's really three big steps to learn about how to write good stuff, right? Yeah. I think, unlike wedgies, which are self-explanatory, writing is a little bit more. You gotta train to write, right? Like, and there's a lot of people who say that if you write every day, you'll become a better writer. And that's true, because practice does make perfect. But you gotta have an idea of what you're practicing.
Right.
So practice doesn't mean just, hey, I'm gonna go sit at my computer and write all the time if I don't know what a sentence is.
That's right.
You kind of need the basics, right? I can't say basics.
That's
okay. So if you write every day, but you don't learn about writing every day, then you don't get to improve and you just write.
Yep.
You get it?
I get it. If you're not just writing in your diary where you're the only one that's going to read it and be able to interpret it, you really need to know some grammar skills.
Yeah, it's like just not super good enough to just write every day.
Definitely not.
You want to write with intention, maybe, and learn with intention, because learning how to write is the important part. And it has to do with a few things. And the first step in figuring out how to write is know what you want to write.
Ah.
So you want to figure out what you're into.
I understand. Like, writing an epic fantasy isn't the same as writing an ad copy.
Not really.
Ooh, sounds more fun than ad copy. And that's not the same thing as writing poetry. Pick something. It doesn't have to be your only style, but pick one way first.
Right. Then the second step, the first step is figure out what you're into.
Yeah.
Second step is learn the tools, which is kind of fun, the learning part. I know people think learning seems mean because that you think of, like, I don't know, eighth grade algebra. But it's fun. Like, how do you learn how to write? There's a certain things you can do. You can enroll in courses. You can read the things, like, what you want to write. You can watch blogs and listen to podcasts and read books about the crafts.
You can talk to other writers who do what you do. They might have some cool resources you're not aware of.
And you can hire a writing coach or an editor who loves helping people and not just loves making money.
Yeah, I know. I've noticed you spend an exorbitant amount of time when you return stuff to people writing their 50 and 80 page responses. And that's not because you're being negative and stuff. It's filled with help. Yeah. You're basically teaching them or attempting to.
I get a little overzealous. So the third step is to go for the grammar, which we were kind of talking about before. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We know that periods aren't sexy. And most people don't get turned on by seeing the structure. But you should.
You definitely should if you want to be a writer.
Like, if your story is awesome, but there's no punctuation or grammar or even sentences, you're not going to be understandable to your potential readers, and they're just going to stop reading.
Yeah, that grammar is really important in how it's read, right?
Yeah, it really is.
The my brain's not working today. Every time I try to recall a word, it's not there.
Oh, that's all right, dude.
But the interpretation,
yeah,
is all about the punctuation.
Like that guy we were talking about who has the Bigfoot blog now, the Hunter guy, and mm-hmm. the Bigfoot book. He reads people's email stories verbatim, and sometimes he'll be like, "I'm so sorry. There's, like, no capitalization. There's not a single period in here." And, like, he'll be fumbling. And grammar helps you communicate your stuff. So you have to learn it, even though you feel like it's not sexy. But there are three really cool places to get your sexy grammar on, and those are...
Grammar Girl, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and Strunk and White's The Elements of Style.
We have the links to all of those in our podcast blogs, which are Dogs Are Smarter Than People and Carrie Jones Books.blog.
How about that beautiful book I bought you for Christmas?
Oh, the Chicago Manual of Style?
Yeah, the one where the UPS guy had to use a handcart to get it on the deck.
That monster book is for novel writing and fiction writing in the U.S. So if you're writing, there are style guides that tell you how to do certain things for the certain different kinds of writing. Like, there's an AP style guide, which is for newspapers and sometimes blogs. There's the MLA, which is for, like, papers and scholarly works in school if you're in a liberal arts institution. And then there is the Chicago Manual of Style, which is the Bible for fiction writers in the U.S. There are different style manuals if you're in England or Australia or France or Transylvania or Narnia.
So if you sell a book traditionally published here in the United States, like you've done many times, and it gets the rights get purchased by a foreign country. So does the publishing company go through and re-edit all that into their style?
What happens is, yes. Wow. If their style is significantly different.
That's crazy.
Yeah, like, it's just what happens.
Interesting.
I mean, though, they're already editing it into a different language, too.
Right.
So it's
part of that has to change. Yes, I got you.
It's cool.
But if it's like England, say it was England, would that undergo a lot of changes? It's same language.
Not a ton of changes, but yeah, there are definitely changes.
Substitute coffee for tea.
No, it's more about quotation marks and plural common nouns. And
French fries for crisps.
The verbs that agree with them and French fries for crisps.
Or is crisped potato chips? I can't remember.
Oh my goodness.
Anyways, that was very interesting. Dog tip for life. And he was like, dude, because he always lays right outside the door and listens when we're doing our podcasts. Once again, I heard what you were talking about, and I don't really have anything to offer other than dogs are so much more highly evolved than humans, hence the name of your podcast.
Dogs are smarter than people.
Our language is universal. We've pretty much cut out all grammar and spelling. We go by noise, smells, body language.
They don't give each other wedgies.
No, they're not necessarily kind to each other. Which, you know, would be, you could say, you don't give me a wedgie, you're kind. But anyways, they have reduced their language to the very basics. And it's so effective. I think we should do that.
I just realized.
As humans.
That we should just what?
Reduce our language to the very basic.
No longer talk?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Just go by looks Blairs? And smells and body language.
There's the predator.
I mean, I wouldn't go too far because I have a horrible resting face. Nobody would want to sniff my butt. But, you know, we're not dogs. So we got to take the time to learn how to communicate. Especially if we're not doing it with our mouths. And Sparty's like, man, I'll give you one little hint I picked up on watching you guys do all this stuff and play around on that Facebook and stuff like that.
On the Twitter.
The more people use social media, the worse their grammar skills get.
I feel like that's true.
Because it's like there's no rules in social media.
Yeah.
Just let it rip.
Yeah, tater chip.
Let her rip, tater chip.
Yeah, and texting too, right? Like, all the abbreviations. Are you getting your point across? Are we losing our ability to talk to our children because we don't know the lingo?
Well, I always hear people say that. Like, oh, it's so hard to express what you really want to say via text or whatever. But it's not if you simply take the time.
It's mostly hard to express what you want to say via Twitter. Because you only have 144 characters or something. But I don't know if that's true anymore.
Well, no, but they're still linked as, like, a longer post
gets
broken up,
deck.
Right?
Ooh.
Yeah, but then once your original gets out there in Twitter land, it's hard to follow sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, like, and then you have to unroll it. But anyways.
We've gotten off subject.
Dogs communicate.
Much more efficiently.
Much more efficiently without words. Although they do bark.
But we're not dogs.
But we're not.
So learn your grammar.
And don't give people wedgies.
Don't.
I also wanted to briefly mention that Sparty communicates with his eyes every time he wants a treat. Like, I can hear him thinking in my head, treat, 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 give me your food, give me your food, give me your food. Like, he's got that intense border collie stare.
Oh, he's got a super intense stare.
Which he's not a border collie, but he's got it.
Like, if you were a sheep, you'd be, like, just putting your whole plate on the floor.
Yeah, man, you'd be like, give up. Give me a wedgie.
You'd be the most obedient sheep ever.
Yeah, it's a wicked stare. And it's intense. And it's almost like psychically trying to get you to bend to his will.
He's really good at it. He really is.
Yeah, man. I'd like to see Sparty in a Bigfoot.
Sparty? Oh, that dog would be gone.
He'd be gone so fast.
Yeah, he would. Jeez. I don't know. He stands up at the appropriate times.
He does. He's a good boy. Yeah. Gabby's probably the one who'd be gone. We have two dogs. Gabby, a Great Pyrenees who has some issues, and Sparty, a very food-focused
poor lab Gabby mix. Wouldn't be able to get away. She'd try so hard, she'd just fall down.
Yeah, she's old and broken. She's always been broken.
Poor dogs, but
they communicate effectively.
They do.
Yeah.
And we're capable of communicating effectively, too.
Yeah, we just have to learn if we learn the skills. That's right, man. Learn
skills. That's right. Hey, folks. Thanks for listening. Please share, like, and subscribe. And don't forget to check out our new podcast, Loving the Strange, live, actually. Every Friday night at 7 o'clock Eastern time, that's p.m., because we're not rolling too hard at 7 a.m.
You said night.
Oh, I did, yeah, didn't I? Oh, man, I'm stupid. I got to learn how to communicate.
The music we clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and made available through the Creative Commons license. The link to the artist's website is also on our website. And it's called Summer Spliff by Broke for Free. How you feeling, Goo?
Goo? That's like kind of how I'm feeling, actually. not a rough start to the day. Everything's been going smooth. But I just, you know,
yeah.
It's like Sunday. It's like not always feeling like this, but I don't know. I'm sludgy.
You're sludgy.
Yeah, just not 100%.
It's like someone gave you a wedgie. Sludgy wedgie. That should be the fourth time. Oh, the fourth type of
sludgy wedgie.
Thank you for listening to us and putting up with our goofiness. Thank you so much.
We do appreciate you.
The notes for this podcast are on CarrieJonesBooks.blog. Check it out.